Hello and welcome to the first of our Memory Jukebox shows, in which we hope to introduce you to some interesting Calderdale people who have made their mark on our community over the years, who they are, and the music that's inspired them. So I would like to thank the Disability Partnership Calderdale and Awards for All for supporting Phoenix FM to be able to press the button and start the Memory Jukebox.
Does the team approve of the action by the Watch Committee of certain cities in banning the film Rock Around the Clock to the disappointment of many young enthusiasts?
Dear, oh dear.
Wishing you a Merry Christmas. And a thank you to all who have helped us through the year. People who love to care for other people.
So I'm joined in the studio by Derek Gorsfield, who is a very young man, born in 1938, I understand.
Yes.
Here in Halifax.
Yeah.
And your career has kind of taken twists and turns.
Yes, got in a funny direction.
And at the moment, you're in a musical direction.
Yes.
You've got things coming up in the pipeline, a musical around the Bronte sisters, which is in the wings, as they say. You've got music on YouTube, which we'll be listening to as well. But probably the one thing that you've done in this area for a long, long time is work on Rolls-Royces. And even before that, you appeared at Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club down in London. So we're going to maybe swap and change a little bit around this. And obviously, hopefully, the listeners will find this really interesting, because I think one thing that I think about Halifax is it's a unique place made up of individuals who come together to form a very diverse town. And its history has been unique, and I think what makes that history unique are the people who make the history, and you fit nicely into that category.
Sometimes I talk to myself, sometimes I lie. I see our love didn't end, our love didn't die. Your hand still holding mine, not waving goodbye. That's what I say to myself, that's when I lie. Sometimes when I'm in a crowd, I feel so alone. They hear me laughing out loud, but I just wanna pick up the phone. I just wanna hear your voice saying, come home. Then I'm back with the crowd, feeling so alone. I can be walking your street when I'm lying quite still. I know we're hoping to meet. I'm happy until I wake and I smile to myself, but inside I cry. I'm smiling at feelings as they come to say goodbye. I should try to forget you. Sometimes I try. That's when I smile to myself, and inside I cry. Thank you.
Can I just start going back a little bit to when and where you were born here in Halifax?
As far as I know, I was born in Harrodwell. The first one or two years I might have been in Harrodwell, and then we went down onto Burnley Road. You won't know Whitty Lane, do you?
I think, yeah, Whitty Lane. Because, I mean, Harrodwell, I lived in Hanson Lane.
Yeah.
So I would go up to the Harrodwell pubs later on, the Horse and Jockey and pubs like that.
Yeah.
And of course, then it drops down to Worley. Because did you say that you were brought up on a farm?
Yes. You know where our garage is, don't you?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If you go towards Hebden Bridge, the first right turn is Whitty Lane.
Yeah.
It goes up Binns Hill and Worley.
Right.
Well, there's a farm on that, right at the bottom of that Fieldhouse farm. That's where I spent all my, well, till I was 11.
Right.
And we moved. My dad bought a small garage, and then he bought a bigger garage, and eventually we bought the whole area. In actual fact, the bit that we had, the showroom with the roses in, was where the horses were kept. It was a stable for the brewery.
Oh, right.
And evidently there used to be a yard in front of it, and a narrow road.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they exercised the horses, so...
I'm going to have to ask you a question, because on the side of that wall, there's one of these ghosts, as they say, of adverts.
And yeah, and it's stop, Chris. We may have it.
And what it says,
stop, we may have it. I think it was the earliest garage in Halifax.
And that was one of your adverts then, wasn't it?
No, it was that one.
Well, you got it, right. Yeah, because I know sometimes when you're driving around, you see these things, and they capture your imagination.
Well, on the other side, it says RIP 216. So somebody must have been selling petrol.
Right.
Before us.
Yeah, yeah. And the peacock's next to it, isn't it?
Peacock's top of the hill. We're
that's
the bottom,
right. Yeah, so all that area is an area that I'm familiar with. But, I mean, it was...
We got a power pump. Do you remember power petrol?
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah, and I was selling that at £3 a gallon.
Right.
When we first started. Filling over the curb. Well, they stopped all that eventually.
Right.
So we just got rid of it.
Right. You said it was Albion Breweries.
Yeah.
Is that right? Because that's not one... I mean, I'm quite good with local brewery history, you know, like obviously the main three, the Whittakers, the Ramsdens and the Websters. And there was a White Castle one that was up Bradshaw as well.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It doesn't seem to connect with the beers. But it was called Halifax Brewery. They made it a dye works in the turn of the century.
All right.
So that's quite a long time with not being a pub, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There are books about it. And it was actually 9 stories high was the brewery.
Right.
There was a tower. We have a picture of it.
Yeah.
The tower went up higher than the malt kiln at the back.
Right.
We used to keep cars in where the office in the petrol station is now. The tower was there. And the rooms were over the top of the office of the petrol station. We used to keep cars in there.
Right.
We paid $1,200 for what we bought. I think that was about $2,000. In some ways, I wish we'd bought it now, because we would have made it into houses, wouldn't we? We would have pulled it down.
Yeah.
We have it on film. We have 8mm film of it being pulled down.
Oh, right.
Nobody
right.
wants to see old Halifax.
So from which school did you go to?
Well, I went to Worley School to start with.
Oh, right.
And then across the importers.
Across the importers.
When I was 11.
Right.
And I used to cycle to school.
Yeah.
Every day.
Right. And from Cross the Importers, is that when you moved to London from there?
Yeah, King's College, London. Yeah.
And what did you study there then?
Physics.
Right. So during that time in London, was that the same time when you started your musical kind of foray into...
Well, I was a pianist when I was 4 years old. I just carried on. Funnily enough, it was a non-musician who said, would you like to form a big band? He says, well, I'll do all the paperwork or whatever we need. You just get the musicians.
Right.
We soon had a band together, but the downside was you pay for the rehearsal room, then they don't turn up. So
right.
The brass section were the worst, so we made it in the end of 5 saxes and rhythm.
Right.
And we stuck together a bit. And that's how we ended up being able to play at Ronnie Scalcrow.
And I'm guessing... From your age thing, would that have been maybe 57, 58?
Yeah, 56, I'd say.
56, right.
I was 18 in 56.
Yeah, yeah. So did you do this while studying as well then?
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of time for students to... I stayed in the Hall of Residence with two other others, and we had a piano there, and I had the role, so I could take a band, I could get eight people in.
Because that's the time when you start to get into... Because you said you had an accident.
Somebody knocked me off my bike
that's
on the first term, yeah.
Yeah.
They sandwiched me between two cars and I wasn't too badly hurt.
No. But that's when you got into doing the mechanical side, was it?
My dad went to an auction every day. He used to buy cars. In those days, you could buy a car in one auction and clean it up, take it to another and make profits. He was a salesman, wasn't he?
Right.
The things that other people didn't fancy, we used to buy.
Right.
Well, my dad used to buy, I'm saying. Yeah. This is before I joined him. I mean, nobody was more surprised than my dad that I ended up joining him in the motor trade when I'd gone to university.
Yeah.
In those days, I avoided going to National Service, but because of that, people were all coming out of the National Service looking for jobs.
Mm.
The jobs market was a lot of people looking for jobs. I could probably have gone to Shell or somewhere like that.
Mm.
And they did the North Sea Oil, that was starting. And funnily enough, the North Sea Oil people wanted the warehouses in Scotland, like Aberdeen and places like that. So what they wanted to get rid of the rubbish in the warehouses. Some of the rubbish was Rolls Royces. So we kept going up to Scotland and coming back with a Rolls Royce that nobody wanted. The Rolls had only made the chassis, so there were lots of cars with battered bodies, but that didn't matter because Rolls didn't make the body, they only made it. And the Rolls Royce part was superb.
Right.
We even bought a Silver Ghost, which is the... In fact, the big ones were 7.5 litre. Nobody wanted them. We did actually scrap one big one, which we feel embarrassed about now.
Yeah.
The small ones are 3 litre in their eyes. Those are the popular ones. First £1,000 car I paid was the Silver Ghost. And the chap, he'd paid £10 for it that I bought it.
Yeah.
And I sold it straight away for £2,000, and he sold it straight away for £4,000.
Right.
And they're worth $500,000 now, $200,000 or $300,000 at Silver Ghost.
Wow. So you've gone from, like I said, studying physics to being a pianist in Ronnie Scott's club?
No, hang on. I was a pianist, all the pianos around about were crap.
Right.
So my dad was a tenor sax player, so I practiced tenor sax. And Victoria Hall had a big band, and all Hearst's big band. It was a regular dance. And my dad was asked to play there one time, and he didn't want to go. He sent me, and I was a little bit naive, but I could play. And second tenor, you know, you followed. What a wonderful feeling to be in with five saxes in a row.
Yeah,
you know, you can bluff a little bit because you can understand that.
Mm.
And I loved it where we all popped onto the old cock in the interval. I felt really grown up musician.
Yeah.
When I got to London, you see, Ronnie Scott Club, I formed a five saxes.
Could I ask you which musicians particularly, because I mean at this period then, you know, you'd gone through all of the Glenn Millers, the Woody Hermans,
Glenn Miller, all of those.
So who were the inspiration for you as a sax player?
Well, Glenn Miller, I love that.
Thank you.
I used to go and listen to Count Basie. He was my favourite. He was really a swinging man.
Duke Ellington?
Talking about Duke Ellington, I've actually shook hands with Duke Ellington, but that's another story. I can tell it if you want.
Yes, please, yeah. Duke Ellington was the first jazz composer to appear on Radio 3's classical shows.
He was a composer, he wrote the shows. He used to go to Johnny Dankworth's rehearsals and listen, taking lessons from his
arranger.
This is the saga of three blind mice who lived in a recording studio. They called the first one Billy May. Second, they called Benny Goodman. And the third used to live in a mill, so they called him Miller. He was a romantic little mouse. After the farmer's son, who sent them stone deaf with a tunable drum. ¶¶ couple of Irish cats around too. One was named Mulligan. The other wasn't exactly Irish, but he was a sort of Finnegan. Kenton had never seen such a thing in his life as three blind mice, so he wrote some music for the occasion. Theme for a trio of sightless rodents. The mice away.
When the unions relented and let the Americans come here,
English musicians went there. Well, Johnny Dankworth went to perform in Birdland.
Right.
And as it happened, the students were chartering a plane. We paid £80 each, and we chartered a plane to fly to America for a 3-week holiday. And it just coincided with Johnny Dankworth being at Birdland. So I flew to New York and went to Birdland and watched Johnny Dankworth there. When I'd done that, I went round to Ontario. I was selling knives and forks in an exhibition. I earned a bit of living, but I found out that Duke Ellington was performing on an island 100 miles north of Ontario. So I'll flipping hitch a lift there,
yeah,
which I did. But I didn't realise that after 20, 30 miles north of Ontario, it really is the north. You know, it's a forest, barren forest. And I got within 20 miles of this place and ended up walking in the dark, the last few miles. But I got there in the end. And
right.
I had to get a boat across the lake and all sorts of things. I told Duke Ellington I'd come all the way from England to see him. So he shook hands with me and made a fuss of me.
Right, that's good.
That was just being a young lad and bumming, I'm going to do it if it kills me.
to sing, dance, and clap their hands. Well, just because the record has a groove, don't make it in the groove. But you can tell right away, Dr. A, when the people start to move.
Has that kind of spirit kept with you? Because, I mean, I think sometimes people who are really into kind of, you know, the creative side of themselves, they remain childlike, not childish, childlike.
Yeah.
You know, it's something which we can stay in that kind of frame of mind, well, no matter how old we get, yeah, and like you now.
I think we're all of a mind. I open my gate in the morning and I'll lock it at night, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I really enjoy what it's about 100 yards walk, and in the rain and the cold. A lot of people are saying, well, that's sodding gay, but I love it. I'm enthusiastic about it.
And that's going up to what you're doing now.
Yeah.
I mean, some people say the worst thing you can do is retire.
Yeah.
And I think at 86, you're probably nowhere near wanting to retire, because there are still challenges out there, still things for you, not just to experience, but for other people to experience what you're doing. Yeah. So, like with the new music that you're bringing out, it's amazing.
I had a heart bypass 13 years ago.
Right.
And my place is all steps everywhere. I found steps are the essence of the most important thing in your health. Steps.
Yes.
That's all you need is steps. And
spiritually, steps are important.
Yeah, well, I'm as fit as a fiddle. I wouldn't have believed it. It was quite a big operation. I could have been dead now, couldn't I? Meeting Tom, just unbelievable.
Yeah. So how did you meet?
he came looking at Rolls Royces. He didn't know I was musical.
Oh, right.
He was thinking of his future. One of these days, when we're successful, I'll get a Rolls Royce. And he thinks visually, you know. A bit like I do. He'll be a film director one day, more than a musician.
I don't know about that.
Have you seen any of it that he's done on YouTube?
I've seen way up on the hill. Is it Beacon Hill?
Yeah. Well, I think he's cut that perfectly. He's cut it in shots. It's the skill. For a 19-year-old lad, it's the skill of a 39-year-old director, isn't it?
This is the time and the place for the whole human race to stop and reflect on all that we've done. If the age of Mother Earth is compared with our birth, we will find that we haven't been as children very long, but we fall night and day with nature's every way, and we've lost when we thought we nearly won. We're gonna need to find a path to avoid nature's wrath, or we'll soon be the ones who are gone. If we take more care with Earth's fragile air, we might be forgiven and be Mother Earth's children once again.
It's important. I mean, obviously I run Phoenix Radio, but my background is I have a degree in fine art. I've published comic books, I've done album covers for American groups, I've had 3 books published, one won an award in America. Yeah, yeah. I've had exhibition work, paintings and stuff. Well, if you're creative, you find different pathways. That's what I'm saying with the steps.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know where those steps are going to lead you to. And sometimes what can actually be a disadvantage is studying art, because if you go to a college like I did, they would have their own style. It was very snobbish to me. You have to fit in with what we want you to fit in. Well, that isn't what art's about.
No. You don't know how near you are to tweaking what I think. You've got it perfect. Because I've been through the system education from one end to the other, haven't I? I've got a degree at the end.
He
didn't go to secondary school.
Right.
He didn't learn piano,
right.
But he can play anything you want on the piano.
Yeah.
And this artistry of the filming, it's him. The art school's not telling him how to do it.
No.
So he's better in a way than we are.
You can be stifled.
Confined, haven't we?
Yeah, you can be confined and stifled by people who...
Well, I sent my two kids to Music Man and he taught them all theory. And they haven't really become musicians, you know. They can do a bit, but they're not as enthusiastic as me. But I'm sure the teacher bred it out of them rather than put it in.
Yeah.
My teacher, my second teacher anyway, he'd been a pianist in the days when he played in silent films and he'd gone across America throwing lifts on trains and stuff, doing what an itinerant musician would do, playing. Well, you don't listen to how to play the piano, you listen to what their life has been like.
Yeah.
And that enthusiasm, isn't it? More than teaching.
The life can actually have an impact on the music coming
out
of them.
That's what I mean, It made me enthusiastic about music.
So from the big band era, you obviously came through the 60s British pop scene as well, as as an observer perhaps, but...
No, what I think is I'm 4 years behind all the way through music.
Right.
I was learning to arrange big band music when Four Chord Joes were doing silly pop tunes.
Right.
We looked down on that because it wasn't very skilled, was it, compared with big band stuff?
My interest is black music, soul music, jazz. And I think equally you look at the evolution of jazz from the big band to people like Louis Jordan, because, again, they couldn't afford to put the big bands out on the road.
Yeah.
So he brought a five-piece band out, which then inspired people like James Brown coming through on the black music scene.
Yeah.
In 1943, the name Louis Jordan and the Timpani Five became household names when the song Five Guys Named Mo exploded nationally and crossed over onto the White Hit Parade.
I want to tell you a story from way back. Truck on down and dig me Jack. There's Big Mo, Little Mo, Four-Eyed Mo, No Mo.
Look at brother.
They're talking about me now.
Look at brother.
Shut up your big mouth, boy.
Look at brother. Eat Mo.
Who's the greatest man around? Makes the cats jump up and down. Who's the talk of Rhythm Town?
Five guys named Mo.
When they start to beat it out, everybody jump and shout. Tell me, who do the critics rave about?
Five guys named Mo.
They came out of nowhere, and that don't mean a thing. They rate high, and you'll know why when you get them swing. Highbrow, lowbrow, all agree, they're the best in harmony. I'm telling you folks, you really ought to see
Five Guys Named Mo.
Thank you.
three guys, four I'd mow, four guys, no more, five guys, eat more, five little guys named Mo.
I love Cab Calloway, I love Louis Jordan, because it's like a humour in the jazz. Mm. And to me, that led on to people like Lieber and Stoller writing for the Coasters.
Right.
You know.
About Minnie the Moocher, she was a red hot hoochie coocher. She was the roughest, toughest trail, but Minnie had a heart as big as a whale. Hide, 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 hide,
hide, hide, hide,
hide. She loved him, though he was cocky. He took her down to Chinatown, and he showed her how to kick the gong around. Hide, 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 hide,
hide, hide, hide, hide,
hide. About the King of Sweden, he gave her things that she was needing. He gave her a home built of coal and steel, a diamond car with the platinum wheels. Hadi, 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 hadi,
hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi,
hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi,
hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi,
hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi,
hadi, hadi,
Burringy, burringy,
burringy,
he gave her his townhouse and his racing horses. Each meal she ate was a dozen courses. She had $1 million worth of nickels and dimes. She sat around and counted them all a million times. Hide, 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 hide,
hide, hide, hide,
hide.
So the whole rock and roll thing, I was too young for that.
In the beginning, there were nothing but rocks. Then somebody invented the wheel, and things just began to roll.
Did you ever hear a tenor sax swinging like a rusty axe, humping like a frog down in a doing crazy things, baby, that is rock and roll.
Does the team approve of the action by the watch committee of certain cities in banning the film Rock Around the Clock, to the disappointment of many young enthusiasts? Well, the whole team is looking at me. Admiral Shinwell, come on.
This is a social problem, a psychological problem, almost a pathological problem. It seems to me the whole world is rocking and rolling. You get these people who want to, what do you call it, jive and dance their heads off and play all kinds of tricks. Well, you know, there's something happening to the youth of the nation.
Jiving. What a thing to do. Can you see me jiving? I've never had the faintest temptation, I may say. It's not my idea of fun at all. And I think that one of the purposes of us old fogies in life is to stop young people from being silly.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're being exceedingly silly.
I am a lover of music, therefore I'm prejudiced and don't like jazz. Jazz to me comes from the jungle, and this is jungle music taken to its logical conclusion. This is musical Mau Mau.
Well, Robin, Monday seemed to be in order.
That's really something.
Dear, oh dear.